Nice to meet all of you very intimately while I speak up here. So I work on the worldwide technical sales group for the Watson Media Group. And one of my goals here today is to kind of explain to you what is Watson Media, because I think there's a huge education gap between what's Watson and what divisions fall underneath it, what's the IBM cloud, what products do we offer, and then what solutions do we power. So that's where we're going to go today. But first, we're going to start with what we're really good at, and that's a marketing video. So my goal is to explain how all that happened, which is so easy to do. The first thing that I want to explain is we as a Watson Media Group, we service a myriad of different clients. We service the media and entertainment community, which a lot of you guys are parts of. We also have an enterprise video platform where we do a ton of B2C consumer streaming, and we are one of our own clients. We use all of our own products for all of our internal communications and all of our internal meetings. This is a list of some of the clients that we have. We'll go through some of them in detail today, but it is a large selection across a myriad of different verticals. Who is the Watson Media Group, right? We started as a cloud video company, and we still have those foundational services as part of our group. Those represent our enterprise streaming platform. They represent our OTT streaming platform, as well as our distribution platform, that I think some people in this room are actually customers of. So we offer these foundational video services that are supported by a bunch of media professionals. One of the things IBM did is they said, hey, we want to be more involved in the media community. And we have a center of competency that's staffed with a whole bunch of media professionals from across the board. And then we acquired some startups and some smaller companies that brought with them media professionals. And then we said, hey, we've got these foundational services. We're still going to sell in the community, and we still sell them today. But how do we take it to the next level and apply what could be a differentiator, which is kind of the Watson Media mission? Liam actually did a really good job, my AWS colleague here, of explaining the developer community. And we do have a developer community that you can access. What we're trying to do is we're trying to build products that the media community can use and get up and running with quickly, and then build solutions on top of. So it's a little bit of a differentiator. The two first products that we brought to market were video enrichment, which you heard a little bit about it from the AWS side, and then also some of our Watson captioning stuff, which is a derivative of that product. The story of AI at IBM is probably one of the best stories out there in the marketing and media and entertainment community. This slide is just here to tell you, I mean, we've been doing this for a long time. It started a long time ago as a research and development initiative, and it's then morphed into things that you know, like the Jeopardy challenge, and then we started to build verticals around some of this research and development we did. We started in healthcare, then we did finance, and now we're starting to build a vertical around media and entertainment, and that's where the Watson Media team comes in. We have all this media knowledge with this group, with our center of competency, with our Watson Media team. We all got together and said, okay, what are the problems we're trying to solve? It's already been pointed out in this group here. People look at machine learning, they look at cognitive solutions, and they say, I want to solve the world. I want to solve 45 problems that I have with my supply chain management, with my media delivery workflow, with my OTT subscriber churn. They're all different things that you could use machine learning or cognitive solutions to try to solve. So we, as a group, said, okay, what products or what solutions can we potentially focus on first that might give our media and entertainment clients the best bang for their buck? The ones we wanted to start on were content search and discovery, and that can be both in your internal DAM or it can be on your consumer-facing website. Just depends on how you deploy the solution. Recommendation uplift was one where we want to give you an augmented metadata set, and you can start to use it within your OTT service to potentially partner with or use in your own recommendation engine. Highlight clipping, which you'll see an example of today, automated highlight clipping both in the sports arena as well as in some of the media and entertainment solutions, is an opportunity for us to get, you know, small, short-form shoulder content to the community faster. As we know, faster usually means larger ROI or a better ability to monetize in a fashion that you might not have been able to do in the past. Closed captioning, you'll see a great example of closed captioning today. We pulled that one out specifically because, as it was pointed out earlier, closed captioning is something that you're never going to get away from. It's not going to be 100% automated as it is today through machine learning, but we can get you to a percentage that is much, much better than just doing it completely manually. You may need a spot check at some point, but we are very confident that we're getting very close to where you can put an automated closed caption service in the market, both on VOD and live, and be confident in the results that you're going to get from the Watson captioning product. And then finally, compliance monitoring. And this is one that people come up with all kinds of various ideas about what they want to do with compliance. They want to do different edits for different regions. They want to know logo identification. They want to know how long the brand stayed on the screen. There's a whole bunch of different solutions we can bring to the market from a compliance monitoring perspective. And those are things that we're working on as we go along and introduce new stuff. So those are the ones that we focused on to begin with. What is Watson Video Enrichment? And this is a key differentiator in my mind between what our Watson Media team does and then what you could potentially get from just going straight to the IBM cloud or what you could get from going to one of our competitors and going direct to their dev community. So we've taken the initiative to basically build a product. So there's a whole bunch of APIs that exist up on the IBM cloud. Some of them are listed here. There's semantic scene chaptering, speech to text, NLU, natural language understanding, visual recognition, and then we have tone analyzer and personality insights. These are the ones that we decided to put into the video enrichment product to start. It doesn't mean that we're not ever going to iterate on it. We have facial recognition coming soon. We have additional APIs that exist in the core Watson services that we will add to this product as we continue to iterate and grow the team. What makes it easy for a media and entertainment company is that we have a solution that can be stood up tomorrow. It could be stood up in 30 seconds if you really want to. You deliver us a video, proxy files are best, it goes faster. We're agnostic to where it's staged. You can give it to us from any cloud service. We'll process it on our cloud. All of this is a SaaS service and it's all based in the IBM cloud. And we will return to you a JSON. It is a massive amount of information that then you can take and decide what do you want to do with that augmented metadata. It will have everything that everybody in this room is starting to get familiar with. It'll have keywords, it'll have concepts, it'll have entities, it'll have additional faces or objects that are recognized, all with a time code. And then it'll give you also a transcript, speech-to-text transcript, that allows you to start to create either an automated closed caption file, or you can use it for time translation within your own DAM, depending upon how you want to bring the solution to the market. The point here is, this is the product. Those are the APIs on the right-hand side. You could go to the dev community and you could basically say, hey, I'm going to build this myself. But this is an opportunity to get it to the market faster. We've done a ton of work on it from a Watson Media perspective. And it's a little bit of a differentiator in how some of our competitors and some of our peers in the industry are going about bringing the solutions to the market. The question is, what do you do with the JSON once you got it? Now you got all this metadata, which everybody loves. And now you got to build a solution on top of that product, right? Watson Video Enrichment is a product, and it's robust, and it gives you a bunch of data. But you got to figure out what to do with it. A great example of this is something that was worked on with our R&D team with Ted. You take all that metadata. Now that you have additional time code, you have additional concepts, keywords, and entities, you can take it to your consumer, and they have a much more robust search on the front end of their consumer experience. In this particular demo, when you go into it and you ask it a question, it'll automatically generate you a playlist that basically gives you the relevant part of the video that you want to see. TED Talks are incredibly robust and have a ton of information. Sometimes you want to get into that part of the video that is more specific to your question. So this is an example of search and discovery. It's basically to your consumer, and how do you make that search and discovery for your consumer a much stickier experience? Now, you got to start it by essentially augmenting the metadata, creating that time transcript, and making sure that you have those robust keywords before you can get to the solution part of the scenario. Another couple of examples I have here. IBM is a sponsor and a big part of the US Open and a couple of other sporting events. And so we use this as a really good way for us to test some of the technology. So what do we do at the US Open? We effectively do automated closed captioning and cognitive highlight clipping for the US Open and the USTA. They then are able to take those clips that we've automatically generated and syndicate out to their social media outlets. They can use them for their own website. They also then automatically have a closed caption file that they can use on their OTT services, whether it's through a different OTT service or it's through ours. The benefit here is that we also have the ability to start training the service for the action recognition and the visual recognition that's going to be necessary per event. And that's one of the things that I think, as we all grow up through this machine learning kind of world, is you have to make sure that your corpus of information that you're using to run some of this stuff is trained either for your specific event, your vertical, or your specific company. And we are offering some training tools, which I'll get into in a second, that make it easier for the media and entertainment community, as opposed for you having to do it all on your own through the straight API calls. So this is the US Open. It's starting up again, obviously, at the end of August. I should also point out here that in addition to the Watson Media stuff, our IBM Cloud Video team and some of our legacy products, we do all the live streaming, we do all the acquisition for the USTA to go out to their OTT services. So it's a good example of being able to build foundational video services and then layer on top of some of the more cutting edge stuff that we're doing in the Watson community. The Masters, a very, very similar experience. We do here, honestly, IBM does everything from a technology perspective. This I would consider one of the most robust media and entertainment or sports OTT services in the market. If you're watching the Masters, everything is covered from highlight clipping, which we do through our service, live streaming, multiple camera angles, all the scoring, automatic analytics, all that kind of stuff is done through our IBM iX team. And that's one of the things that we can also bring from a Watson Media perspective, is we can give our products to other divisions as they take the solution to the market. Great example of using video enrichment and live streaming together. This is the most relevant one and probably my favorite. One of my colleagues in the back here actually was basically the driver behind it. If any of you have your phone out, I don't see anybody with a phone, which means I must be riveting at the moment. You go to the Fox Sports page. If you're a World Cup fan or you were watching any of the World Cup, there's something called the highlight machine there. If you go into the highlight machine and you were watching a game, it was automatically creating the most exciting highlight clips of that particular game and then syndicating them to the Fox Sports site and their Fox Sports Go app. We partnered with a highlight clipping team here, kind of like AWS was saying, they partnered with Grey Meta on a couple things. On the Masters and the US Open, we used our homegrown technology because we were doing it through our R&D team. Point is, this experience had multiple different workflows all being managed through the Watson Media team. We managed it from top to bottom. So we used Watson Video Enrichment on the live broadcast. We automatically generated clips that would automatically syndicate out to the site or the app. And it provided the user a pretty awesome experience because you could automatically get clips, you know, kind of pushed directly to you that were relevant to you. And the highlight machine is the best because you can go back in time and say, hey, I want to see, you know, Alexi Lawless's headballs from, you know, 94 to 2010. And I don't know if headballs is one of the actions we actually trained it on, which is a point. You have to train it on the actions that are relevant to that event. So we did a lot of work. And our services team, which is, you know, IBM, big global organization, did a lot of that training. Now, training on the AI side takes a lot of time, depending upon what you're training it for. And we can offer that training either as a service through our team, or we do have some tools where you guys can go direct and start to train your corpus of information. From the Fox perspective, we did a ton of work, but the Fox team did a bunch of work as well. One of the things they did do here, which is kind of cool, not only were they generating automated clips, but we were doing video enrichment on the entire broadcast. Their editing team was able to then go back in and create additional clips on their own, because they had this augmented metadata in their own DAM. So we did do an integration with the DAM that they were using. Point is, it's an agnostic service, it's a SaaS service, it's cloud-based, but you then can integrate it into your solutions and your workflows that already exist today. Takes a little bit of time to figure it out, but up and running with video enrichment out of the box, ready to go. We did realize that video enrichment may not be what everybody wants. The video enrichment is going to give you the keywords, the concepts, the entities. It's going to give you a time transcript. But it takes a little bit of time, especially on a VOD file. So if you give me a VOD file, you know, an MPEG-4 proxy, it's an hour. It's going to take about an hour to run all of those API calls and return you that JSON. We said, okay, if we want to solve closed captioning, it's got to be faster, right? So maybe this is only a call to our speech-to-text API. And then what do we do to make it look like it's going to work for our media and entertainment clients so they can start to get to a point where they're comfortable using it in replacement of their manual closed caption and they're comfortable with where you get with the FCC regulations. So we pulled out closed captioning as its own solution and we created a closed captioning product. We started using it on the US Open. We had to train it on a lot of names. The names and a lot of these sporting events are incredibly difficult and they're worldwide, which is a good, very good use case. Some of the things that we were able to do with it, we were able to basically get to a 84 to, I think this one was 90% accuracy rate out of the box, which was great. And these are the kind of things that we're trying to make the product do. We're trying to make it faster than real time. We are trying to make it self-learning, so there is an automatic feedback loop where you go into an editor at some point and you say, hey, that word was wrong. The vocabulary list gets improved in your core corpus. We allow people to do custom corpora, so the way that IBM works from an AI and a machine learning perspective is we have a general corpus of information that if you run a video through video enrichment or closed captioning, it's gonna use that general corpus, right? That's what everything is run against. That continually gets improved by our research and development teams and by our Watson content team. But there's got to be a situation where you guys need to improve it on your own. Great example would be local newscasters. They're not a national celebrity or international celebrity, but in their local market, they are someone that's relevant. So you have to train them on that kind of stuff. So you would have a custom corpora from a closed caption perspective. The other thing is obviously we want you to have some sort of manual quality control. So in this closed caption product, we built in an online editor, which allows you to basically go in and edit it before you release the closed caption or edit it just after you've broadcast it. And then once you send it to your VOD files, it's a corrected closed caption file. We are aware of the timelines that the FCC requires, et cetera. And that's what we're trying to provide you is the opportunity to go back in and change it. This is the captioning process, so I bring this up here just to differentiate between video enrichment and closed captioning. So if you look in the middle there, the only API that I'm actually using here is the Watson speech-to-text API. The other one showed natural language understanding, semantic scene chaptering. It showed a bunch of API calls that we were doing through the video enrichment product. This one, we're taking your audio feed, we're splitting it out, we're running it through the speech-to-text API, and then we're doing a few things. We're smoothing it so it sounds more like a conversation, because sometimes when you get that speech-to-text blob, if you've tested it with a bunch of different APIs, it just comes out when it's unreadable. So we do a little bit of work to smooth that, which is a differentiator in how we do closed captioning versus just straight speech-to-text. That's the smart layout, and then we're bringing you down here into the quality assurance. And that's the online video editor that allows you to go in and say, hey, I do need to change this word. A good one might be, okay, you know, it's 2018's hottest hits. If 2018 gets replaced with 2018 spoken, and you want it to be displayed as 2018, you know, this is a scenario where you have a vocabulary list that gets put into your corpus. That'd be something that would happen generally, but it's a good example of how this corpora works and the display and the technology works. So that's our captioning process. These are the two that we brought to market. Now, we did VOD captioning first, and then what we did is we brought live captioning to the market. We have a really exciting client that we just signed, and we can't really talk about them, but it's a very large broadcast group here in the United States, and we took it from VOD to live. And so here it's a little bit different. We have to have some interaction with where the broadcast playout's coming from. We get your audio feed, and then we run it very similar in how we do the VOD captioning. So if you think of our service as a total SaaS service, all you got to do is get what we need into the cloud, and we're going to return to you the information that's relevant to your particular solution. So in this particular case, the client is then responsible for muxing the closed captioning back into the broadcast feed, but we'll give you all the individual closed captions that are run through our captioning service. So basically the same thing. It's running off the same product, but it's a bit of a different solution, meaning live captions versus VOD captions. We built a UI. Liam actually pointed something out. The UI for Watson Video Enrichment, everybody sees it and goes, oh, well, it's awesome. It's an amazing demo tool. But then they want the metadata. They want the metadata in some way, shape, or form that they can use it either in their own DAM or they can use it in their own experiences. So we provide both the UI and we provide the JSON return that you can use however you want afterwards. What we did have to do in the live captioning is we created a scheduler so people can schedule how they're gonna do their live captioning through our service. And then finally, training. So training to me becomes the most important and the most ambiguous part of the process. Right now, through our video enrichment product, there's like four or five different types of training that you can do. You can do vocabulary lists. You can do custom corpus files, meaning you can upload any type of data and we will start to create vocabulary lists out of it. And then you can also do audio. You can do audio files, and those audio files would then start to inform on the speech to text, because as you get different dialects or different accents, it gets a little bit more difficult to discern to the speech to text. We've built a UI into our video enrichment product that allows you to do this directly within our experience. The other way of doing it is you go directly to the API on the Watson Content Studio, but you have to be a little bit more robust and a little bit more of a dev side of the house in order to get it to market. Now, as I explained at the beginning, we're trying to create a product that the media and entertainment community can start quickly and get to market quickly with, right? You have the option of going directly to our dev community and going directly to the APIs. My experience with the media and entertainment community has been that people will often start there, and this I think happened back in the day with some of the OVPs and the OTT experiences. People started to dev it themselves and then realized, wow, there's a whole bunch of steps that happen from A to market. Maybe I would rather use a product that's been thought through. Maybe it's not perfect, but it has a roadmap and it has a feedback loop that allows you to essentially iterate without having to do your own dev and your own investment. That's where we're going with the Watson Media Group. We have a couple of exciting announcements coming out. Our Watson Video Enrichment product will start to have facial recognition integrated into it in the next quarter. And we're really excited to be able to offer this stuff to our current media and entertainment clients that are already on our foundational services, both distribution and OTT. And I think that's my last slide. That was the high-level overview. I would not doubt if there's questions. I'm happy to take some now. I also have colleagues in the audience that can go through live demos. We can set up time to show you the actual UI. But if there's any questions, I am happy to answer them. Yes.
An example of C-SPAN, not C-SPAN, TED Talks.
Yes.
Because it's a well-orchestrated 18-minute presentation, there are no Q&As, rarely, if at all. And it rarely goes to the audience. Is there any way that Watson can capture that data and anticipate a Q&A that can be uploaded to their website in addition when you go to, you know, tedtalks.org?
So I would say that your question is now leading into, I have a product and I want to create a solution, right? So how do I want to solve my next problem? There's plenty of ways that in that solution we built that maybe you start putting automated Q&A from a social media feed or from somebody uploading a question and then have the Watson start to group them together. There's a whole bunch of different things you can do. In that TED Talk example, we were specifically focused on getting the search and discovery to a point where you would be able to have an automated playlist specifically to what you wanted to see. So we didn't build that part into the solution. It doesn't mean it can't be done, we just didn't build it into the solution at that point. Yeah, we got one right here. Next.
All right, this may seem like a, hello? This may seem like a silly question about the sports stuff, but I was wondering if you're ever picking up language that you don't want on the transcript, like, you know, the players swearing, or, you know, you could be picking up, if it's so sensitive, you could be getting, you know, the quarterback's, you know, talk, his cues that they don't really want to go public.
That is a great question. So two answers to it. One, out of the box, we did bracket the type of content that we wanted to ingest into our video enrichment and our closed caption. It's primarily an MPEG-4 file with AAC audio. So one of the things that we want to enhance is we want to expand it to 5.1 audio so we can start to do individual tracks, which would allow us to do some better analysis. That is not in the product today, but would be something we would add. Profanity detection is something that is fairly simple to do today. You can create vocab lists to train it. You can also create vocab lists to basically block out in your closed caption file. Now, is it going to block it out on your video file? No, but it's going to be able to block out in your transcript. So if you preload a profanity list for any sport or for any media client or for any news client, you can automatically display any of those slurs or any of those swears as something that's redacted. That's very simple to do. It's in the product today. It just becomes a training exercise as opposed to a product feature.
Yes, I'm curious about how Watson integrates with Microsoft Azure. Let's say, for example, I do my VOD processing, for example, in the Azure platform. How can I integrate Watson within that for embedded closed caption, subtitling, et cetera?
Just migrate to the IBM cloud. So we built the product as an agnostic SaaS service. So all we honestly need is a direct link to the video. If I have a direct playable link of the video, we will process it in our cloud and we can return to you the JSON. So I'm working with a bunch of clients right now that are actually all of their content staged on an AWS platform. So we're pulling it off of AWS. We do process it in the cloud. We don't deploy it on AWS. We don't deploy it on Azure. We can go through all the security requirements, how it's done in transit, et cetera, how it's encrypted. All that is built into our service. We will process it on our cloud, return it to you, and then you can basically use it how you want. And that kind of is product versus solution, right? If you want us to build the solution, you know, we're probably going to want to host it on our side. But if you want just the augmented metadata or just the closed caption files, you know, we'd be happy to take it in from anywhere. Or your own DAM. I mean, we have plenty of people that host it on their own. You know, that's going away largely, but we do pull it from some people's own servers as well. Or you can migrate, like I said first.
So it's a random question, more on industry and IBM, but given that you're able to generate all the closed captions and everything, if I have to create multiple audio voiceovers for a live feed, is that possible? To give an example, imagine I'm a host broadcaster for FIFA World Cup and I'm producing it in English, but I have the rights for OTT to distribute it in, say, Mexico. Would Watson be capable for translating it in Spanish on demand as a voiceover without me hiring a local talent?
There's a couple steps there. There's a translation piece first, which we can do through our global pipeline service, which does about 12 different language translations. It's not built into the core service today, sorry, the core product, but is a service we could offer. That translation effectively would come back to you as a translated script, right? There then is an API that is text-to-speech, which you could effectively then take and turn back into an automated voiceover. How it would perform on all of those different languages that you're trying to do, especially in FIFA, since you're global, would be something we'd have to look at from a services or solution perspective. I'm not as familiar as how accurate that would be, but it's something we can absolutely take a look at.
Last question, but in the world of text-to-speech story, is that all human excitement included by Watson? So saying goal versus goal, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Again, I am not as familiar with the text-to-speech part. We can get you up to that part, and then we'd have to do it as a service or a solution on top of it. It's something we're looking at putting into the service or the product. It's just not there yet.
Is that an industry problem?
Yeah, people come all the time with, and that's a great question actually. It's like, what do people come and ask about? Like, man, you guys have a lot of ideas about what machine learning can do. Like, how many problems can I solve with machine learning? And there's a lot of them. That one, translation, is a big one that people come with, because anybody that's doing distribution on an international level, or they're doing broadcasting on an international level, they're starting to get to a point where, like, okay, I can get an automated closed caption file. Great. Now I want to put it in 15 different languages, and also now I want to do a voiceover. So we hear it a lot. It's just, it's going to be an iterative process to get there on the machine learning and cognitive solution side. But I think as we start this kind of journey, those are the things that we're going to try to identify. Which problem do we solve next, right? We did automated highlight clipping. We did automated closed captioning. Where are we going next? Am I getting beeped?
Yeah, unfortunately, okay. We are out of time.
It was nice to meet all of you. If you have questions, Tim. There's IBM Watson Media people everywhere. Ask them questions.
Give a big round of applause. Thank you guys so much for your participation today.